Hello, Martin Furbanif. You know the song?
Sounds very familiar.
I bet you know it.
I bet I do.
I'm going to skip forward a little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that's got to be my favorite soundtrack ever so far in my life is definitely Hotline Miami. But Walkie Talkie Man that was available on, and I don't know if you had a DS, on the Nintendo DS. Walkie Talkie Man, it's called Elite Beat Agents. And it's a rhythm game for the DS that you're just sort of, it's like a tap game. You're tapping to the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that freaking song by, I think it's Stereogram, I want to say.
Yes.
But the video is by Michael Gondry, which is, you know, it was right before, I believe, he did the White Stripes videos. And holy guacamole, when I heard that song, it is so poppy and so catchy. But mamacita, did I fall in love with that. And for whatever reason today, I actually was thinking, like, God, what was that song? I totally remembered that song. But Elite Beat Agents had, like, Hoobastank in it. It had Sum 41. It was totally from its time.
Yeah, all my jams.
But holy cats, was that a great album. Oh, my God. It was such a good soundtrack. But needless to say, I only liked Walkie Talkie Man. That would be the only I would still put into a little mix, a little music mixy going on.
I hear you. I you come in by surprise, man. I was gonna warn you.
Uh-oh. Are you reading?
No. I'm a little out of it right now.
I'm a little out of it. A little magic mushroom?
Yeah, I took the day off and I had quite a session this morning.
Yeah? Did you stick through your hand?
Oh, buddy. My hand was stretched out to infinity.
Can you hear out of both ears now?
As a matter of fact, I can.
Oh, so see, every once in a while, you know, magic mushrooms, you know, they're there for medical purposes as well.
Actually, you know, it's funny that you say that. So one of the earlier stories I remember listening to about mushrooms on a podcast was about this guy. God, what was the guy's name? I can't remember. You've heard of, like, Terrence McKenna, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Terrence had a brother, Dennis. Well, has, because Terrence is dead. Dennis is still alive.
Okay.
But anyways, so Dennis McKenna had this professor, and the professor knew he was doing research on mushrooms and, like, tried to get – oh, no. You know what? No. It wasn't McKenna. It was Paul Stamets. Anyways, had this professor, was it Stamets? I think it was Stamets. By the way, Stamets, like the guy, the doctor from Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Paul Stamets is named after this guy that researches mushrooms.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. That's why the warp drive in Star Trek is like this mycelium network through space. You never saw season one, have you?
Of what?
Discovery.
I'm like four episodes in.
Okay. Well, you know how they discover this engine that gets them to travel through the mycelium network?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, mycelium is mushrooms.
Mm.
Anyways, space mushrooms. Anyways, Paul Stamets. So, anyways, he has a professor that had gone deaf in one ear and apparently did like a heroic dose, as they call it. And, and as he was tripping on mushrooms, I mean, this is like an 80-year-old man, all right? He's tripping on mushrooms, and he starts hearing out of the ear that he hadn't been able to hear for years. And he was outside tripping on mushrooms, and he looked – he moved his head over and looked down, and there was a trail of ants marching right next to his head. So he was like hearing the ants marching next to his ear. I guess here we covered like some hearing for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then it disappeared. Like it went back to normal. But I mean, like he was an 80-year-old man, so he's like, I'm not going to just keep doing mushrooms so I can hear.
So I can hear for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's for the listeners, this will all come back in the end. Don't you worry. I promise.
And that's how Dave Matthews Band came up with Aaron's Marching.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyways, so that's what happened today. It was fantastic. I laid in bed and, I had my PJs on and my bathrobe. I got under the covers and, I was playing some tunes and, I put on the weighted blanket that I got my wife for Christmas. I put that on me.
What was the music?
It's like sitar music.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Mood music.
Very much mood music.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A little Ravi Shankar.
Not Ravi Shankar, but similar to that, I guess. A little more traditional. But, anyways, yeah, it was fantastic. About 1 o'clock or so, I came to it. And I've been trying to recoup ever since. My wife texted me at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock that we were going to go help my parents unload some boxes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw my tweet. That's why I was like, oh, I hope I'm back in reality by 5 o'clock.
You're harshing my buzz. Come on, it's only 3 o'clock. Leave me alone.
Yeah, she didn't even know what I meant. I was good enough to go and do that.
Good.
I did not drive.
Mm.
I was like, nah, you should drive. I've been very chill all day. You know what I mean? Like I woke up. I mean, I was awake, but like, you know what I mean? Like when you come back to it.
Yeah. Snap out of it.
I still haven't snapped out of it.
Mm,
I'm
nice.
I'm still in that zone.
Nice.
But yeah, I can focus now a little bit more.
Just a wee bit. Well, then, this episode might be 25 minutes long, or it could be 5.5 hours long. We don't know. It all depends on how far you want to snap back.
I mean, whew.
You never know.
There was some serious stuff going on today, Nick.
That's all right.
Some serious stuff going on today. It was very, very nice.
Sheesh.
It's very nice.
Well, I gotta say, my day?
Yeah.
And it's a tradition, but today it just happened to be the worst day of the year. Why, might you ask? I had to take down all the Christmas decorations.
Oh.
And that's when I fill up my pimp chalice and then pour a little bit out, because that's a sad day in Ludlow. I hate taking down those damn lights. Dude, those lights are so tranquil for me.
Mm.
They talk about meditative state. Those things do it for me every freaking day.
Yeah?
Yeah, so taking them down, like I try to push it as far as I can, but Julie, the cruise director, was having none of it. And she was like, get that stuff down.
Well, you're going to like this, mm-hmm. because apparently we're not taking down our Christmas tree.
What?
Yeah. Well,
that's just sheer laziness now. Come on.
No, because since you can like program the lights on it.
Yeah.
My wife is just changing the lights to like every single holiday of the year.
But you're going to have a Christmas tree up in your house?
Yeah, bro. It's in the family room.
Ay, caramba. I don't even know if I can approve that message.
She says, she said it is not a Christmas tree. She says it is now the house tree.
Is it a narrow, thin tree? One of those artificial narrow, thin ones?
Nah, bro. It's like 8 feet tall.
But wide.
Yeah, it's wide. How wide is it? I don't know. 4 foot?
I can't. What? Yeah, come on.
It's a big tree, bro.
I get it, but a narrow one you can sort of pass with it. But having a tree in your living room all year? I don't know.
Listen,
has the tree become your porcelain duck?
There you go. That's
sitting outside on your stoop and the people like put different like outfits on it depending on the season and the holiday. Is that what the trees become?
Well, so right now it's blue and white for New Year's, and then Friday it's going to be pink and red for Valentine's Day.
But it's still a green tree. You're just changing the lights.
Well, sure. I'm not changing the lights. My wife is.
Ay, caramba.
Listen, we are a special family here. Okay, if you hadn't realized this, we're very special.
Oh, you're special, all right.
I made my black magic chicken tonight. it was delicious.
Good.
My wife and I have very interesting conversations, so let's talk about this.
Okay.
We should begin, when did this happen? Last week, when my wife ousted me on FaceSlap. That was last week, right? Or was that this week? I don't remember.
That was over the weekend.
It was over the weekend, yes. So last week I woke up and, I always sleep on my stomach. I find that the most comfortable position. Mm-hmm. And, I slept on my stomach as usual. I slept on my right ear. I woke up one morning and my ear felt like it was stopped up. And, I'm sure I was getting like sick or something, right? Cause Zoe had just had the flu. So maybe I caught some of that bug and my body was fighting off some of it. You know what I mean? Maybe I had an ear infection. I don't know. It didn't hurt.
Right.
But I didn't think anything about it because, what's that thing? What's that called? Tinnitus. I think I've had tinnitus my entire life.
Mm.
Cause you know what tinnitus is, right? Like when you hear that beep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, my wife has that.
Yeah, so I've had that my entire life. Always out of my right ear. Very seldom in my left. And I was like, well, whatever. My ear stopped up. So I went to work, and I told my wife, I was like, man, I can barely hear out of my left ear, which sucks. I always have a headphone in one ear. You know what I mean? So I couldn't do that day, because then I couldn't hear anybody. You know what I mean? So that was interesting. I didn't think anything about it. I went to bed again. And
was your equilibrium off?
No.
Okay. All right.
I was not off balance. Didn't feel nauseated. No pain, nothing. Just it felt like my ear was stopped up.
Right.
This happened the second day and then a third day. And by the fourth day, I'm like, well, like maybe I should do something about this. So I'm talking to my wife and she's like, well, if you need to go to the doctor. And I said, why would I go to the doctor? And she's like, well, if you can't hear out of your ear for 4 days, then there's obviously something wrong. You need to go see a doctor. And I say to myself, self, you don't need to see a doctor. What are they going to do? They're going to pour some like saline solution in your ear, give you some like antibiotics or whatever.
Yep.
Meh. So I looked in the cabinet. I had some antibiotics in there. They were still good, not expired. I was like, yeah, I'll just take some of these. I took a couple of them and got some olive oil, heated it up for about 30 seconds in the microwave, put some salt in it, have a teaspoon of salt, mixed it all up, poured that sucker in my ear, and I laid it on my left ear.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it would soak in there. And then after about 15, 20 minutes, I went and I put my head down on my right ear so it could just like start coming out. And all of a sudden, pop! My ear popped.
Ah.
Yeah. So I went and I told my wife, I said, see, I don't need to go see a doctor. I just popped my ear. And so she did not make me an appointment. But of course, she had to post part of this conversation on on the FaceSlap. And it's fine. I'm not going deaf. It's fine. It's cool. It's cool, bros. I'm not going to see a doctor either. Nick suggested I get a very fancy earphone, megaphone thing. An ear horn.
Yes.
Which I'd be totally down for that. I don't think it would have helped, though. Because it was, like, in my ear, bro.
But it would be very hilarious. I mean, earphone, you holding an earphone up against your ear trying to hear things out of it. Mm,
that is true.
That would be worth the comedy alone.
That would be very hipsterish. And as you know, I'm all about suspenders and my beard right now.
Mm.
So that would make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some lady told me my beard was very sexy and fluffy. And I said, thanks, random lady.
Ah. And then you said, would you like to smell it? It has some sweet oil in it, too.
No, I don't need to say that because you can smell it from several feet away. It smells very citrusy.
Yes.
It's very good. It's nice. So yeah, so that's what happened is, I couldn't hear out of my ear for 4 days. Which was very interesting, Nick. Let me just throw this out there. Because as you know, my adopted character for 2020 was Daredevil. You know, Daredevil, he can't see, but he's got fantastic hearing.
Yes.
And, of course, like, he's got to have villains that play with sound, right?
Of course.
Which is funny because in the Charles, so I read 4 volumes of Charles Soule, Daredevil. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Loved it. And Claw shows up in there. And, matter of fact, I was wrapping up Daredevil by Mark Waid, volume one, before we started recording.
Yeah.
And Claw shows up in there.
Mm. So, but no 10 fingers in Mark Waid's run.
No. But that is in Soul's run. That's very good. I like the 10 finger stuff.
Yeah.
Although very creepy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then like creepy when he makes the eights, cause like he gives people powers and all of a sudden they grow 8 fingers in each hand. Mm-hmm. Very strange. Not explained very well, but it's odd. It's a comic book.
Yeah. Doesn't need to be.
Doesn't need to be. It's magic.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm thinking to myself, well shit, maybe this is magic.
Mm.
I'm becoming a Daredevil supervillain.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I thought with your one sense going down, all of a sudden you're going to like have hyper beard spirit or something.
Oh, like developing. Beard tentacles.
Yes.
I like it. Why did I pour that olive oil in my ear? I should have just left it alone.
Mm.
Now it could have beard tentacles.
Right.
But not anymore because I can hear again.
Did you take the $50 and wave it in front of your wife's face and be like, I just saved us money? Put it right in your pocket. In your face, conventional medicine. In your face.
No, but I did go in there and I said, ha! My ear just popped. so it was it's very interesting past couple days, Nick.
As long as you didn't like look in your ear and then have the reflection from the light of like your telephone trying to like film in there. Like I've seen umpteen videos where it's like then all of a sudden you see two little eyeballs reflecting back from the person's ear. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? And that's when I vomit on YouTube and I say, good night. I'm out of here.
No. No, I did have my wife look inside my ear.
Mm.
There was no wax buildup.
Oh, there you go.
I've never had like waxy buildup in my ears. You know what I mean? I've never used a Q-tip in my life.
I'm a naughty boy. I use Q-tips all the time.
Oh, you shouldn't. That's how you go deaf.
I know. That's what people say. I don't care. I'm using them. I'm in there.
All right. Well, you know, when you go that's deaf. Okay.
I'll get a fancy ear horn. No worries.
My wife will make you a doctor's appointment.
I do not need a doctor's appointment. I will happily go deaf and put in a fancy ear horn, and then I'll start wearing my neckerchief all the time. Like a proper lad.
But the saga continues, you see.
Mm.
Because yesterday, my wife sent me a text that one of her new earbuds was going out. See, she got I got her some wireless earbuds, you know, like fake AirPods.
All right.
Because
like
only
Bluetooth.
Yeah, but like the true wireless ones, you know what I mean? Like individual, just like the AirPods, the individual ones, no wires, nothing. You put them in the case to charge them. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Got her some of those. Got me some of those.
Mm.
Apparently, hers one is going out, so I got some new ones coming. It doesn't matter. They're being replaced.
But it's a simple solution. She gives them to you because you can only hear out of one ear.
Well, no, it's an even simpler solution because you see, she texts me and says, hey, one of my earbuds is going out. I can't remember what ear she said it was. And I said, honey, don't worry. Actually, I didn't say honey. I said babe because we call each other babe. I said, babe, don't worry. I'm going to make you a doctor's appointment.
Touche.
To which, of course, she sends me the eye roll. And then we went back and forth and she says, no, earbud. And I can't remember what the rest of it is. Anyway, you go to my Twitter, you can see the – I posted the pictures of the text messages. It was hilarious for me and probably for Nick because he saw the post on Facebook. But we need some explainer for some of the other folks. You know what I mean? That don't know that stuff.
That's a perfect ending right there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. My wife is on Twitter. Except she doesn't use it, so there's no point in following her.
She just lurks.
I don't think she's even got Twitter installed on her phone anymore.
Really?
Yeah, she's more of an Instagram person. She likes the gram.
She jumped over to the gram?
Yeah, she likes the gram.
Does she gram and TikTok? That's about it?
No, no TikTok, just gram.
No TikTok?
No, no TikTok.
What about the girls?
Nope, no TikTok either.
Really?
Yep, no TikTok.
Interesting.
I think Reagan does a little snapping, a little snap snap.
Really? I thought she would have converted right over to TikTok.
Nope, not a fan of the TikTok.
Interesting. Okay.
She does like a little bit of the snip snap.
Okay.
I am on none of them because they're all horrendous.
Of course you're not. You're Martin Ferretti.
But I love Twitter.
Yeah.
I like it.
You're using love quite liberally.
I really like it a lot. I've spent a lot of time crafting my Twitter experience, and as a result, I have a great experience. Most people don't take that time, and therefore, all they see is garbage.
Well, I don't see garbage. It just seems like Twitter is serving up 10 times more promoted posts than they ever did even 6 months ago.
Mm.
So obviously that algorithm is really working for them because now they are the kings of that promoted post.
So the problem is you use Twitter and not TweetDeck.
I know, son. I used to use that when I was running social for one of my previous companies. And needless to say, I got so burned out on that platform that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back to the true original, and I'll just stick there.
Hey, that's fine. I mean, if you want to see all the promoted garbage, then go for it.
No, I don't want to see it, but I also – TweetDeck is so meandered in my sign-in garbage for my previous job.
Oh, yeah, sure.
To actually decouple my own personality from – the tweet deck that I had assigned to 15 different platforms I was running, that is a headache in itself. So
I'm sure
best to cut it away like Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic. Goodbye, Leo.
Too soon, Nick.
Goodbye,
that's
Leo.
That's too soon. Okay. That's been like 30 years since that movie.
Yes.
And 100 since the shipwreck.
It's still a classic. A classic.
You know, I had to see that goddamn movie like 5 times in the theaters.
5 times? God, I hope you were making out with 5 different girls during it because that's the only way you could sit through that.
Listen, we can't talk about too much of that because, you know, your mom's listening.
Oh, that's all right. Jana understands. She knows about – she taught me about the birds and the bees. Where my dad just wanted to throw a book at me that had drawings in it that was a child's book that was called Where Do Children Come From?
Mm.
And all I remember is one of the illustrations was the father sitting at a bar, and in this big glass that supposedly held beer was a little baby.
Of course.
Right, because who knows? Maybe that's where they come from.
That makes perfect sense. Sure. I wish I had been told that.
But there was no talking about that. No birds, no bees when it came to old Tommy. Uh-uh.
Yeah, I don't think I got the talk.
Yeah, I got it from my mom.
Yeah, I don't remember. If I got it, I don't remember.
It was weird, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, when you don't have visual aids and you're only going by what your body is like, picturing what a woman's body is like right around there, other than, like, your butt's your butt, and that's what a girl's butt's like. Now, everything else that I'm going to tell you is completely different than what your body is. And then you're trying to picture it. And it's like, I don't know. Is that a belly button? I don't know.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Is it like a gas pump? Do you like you hit a button and then poop comes out, and then you hit another button and pee comes out? I don't know. I have no idea because I only have one little hole.
Yeah.
I figured out.
Wait, I have a question. Wait, no, stop.
What?
Did you ever catch your mom?
What?
You know.
No, I don't. Please inform me. That could go in 15 different ways.
Like in the act.
My mom and dad?
Well, sure.
No, I remember voices and sounds from behind a door, but that was about it. Who knows? Maybe I walked in on them, but I had no clue. I had no idea.
I walked into my parents once. That was quite an experience.
Yeah, how old were you?
Oh, man. I was 16 years old.
Oh, man. So you knew where birds and bees came from.
I knew what was happening.
And your dad was not down at the bar with you in a glass.
No, he was not. That was interesting.
Were they under the covers at least?
Well, yes.
Okay.
And they quickly hid under the covers. Because I didn't know they were home. Because usually they left early, you know what I mean?
Right.
And this particular day, at the school that I was in, we could set up our own schedules. And this particular day, I didn't go in till 10 o'clock in the morning. So I had slept in late, and I was getting ready to go. And I was like, I'm going to go get some cologne. And I was out. So I was like, I'm going to go use my dad's cologne.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even think anything about it. The door was closed. I was like, oh, that's weird. And I just opened the door and walked right in. And that was something that happened. And I said, oh, my bad. I'm just getting some cologne. Did a couple spritz and walked right out. Closed the door.
What? You didn't even just back out as soon as you saw what was going on?
No, dude, because I was on a mission. I went in. I was going in to get the cologne, spray and go. That's all what right. I did. I walked in, spray, go. Didn't even look in the other direction.
Jeez, that's pretty ballsy. I think I would have opened up the door, saw what's happening, and quickly closed it, and very ashamedly closed it.
Well, then my mom walked out and tried to have a conversation with me, and I'm like, I gotta go. You guys just go finish what that was.
Now, you would think that your parents would know, are all three kids out of the house before that was happening?
Well, I mean, it was very quiet, so surely they knew I was there.
Well, how would they know you're there?
I mean, they knew my schedule.
Maybe they didn't. You said you went in late that day.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Every on this particular day, I always went in at 10.
I'm saying the X factor's you. Maybe Nelson's on a routine every Wednesday.
I mean, maybe.
It's like clockwork.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. All I know is the door was closed and they were very quiet. So my assumption is they knew that I was home.
Oh, they like not getting caught.
I mean, maybe.
Being in the back seat of their car during high school. It brings them back to that.
Could be.
Ooh, we could get caught. We never know.
Could be. I don't know. All I know is I needed some cologne.
Sounds like now you need some therapy. Ay, caramba.
I don't need therapy, but I'll tell you what. I quit wearing cologne.
You're like, yeah, I'm going to use this Irish Spring soap.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be my scent moving forward.
Mm-hmm. No, it was the, what's the other one? You like the Swagger and all that stuff. What's that called? Old Spice.
Old Spice?
Yeah.
Mm.
I used that for a long time. I don't use it anymore.
Well, so wait, you and your dad at the time had the same cologne?
No, but what did he wear at the time? I used to wear, I think at this time I was wearing the polo, Ralph Lauren.
Sure. Staple.
I don't remember what he was wearing. I just wanted some cologne.
You're like, it feels like a high karate day or a Stetson day. I'm going to go put some on.
No, he didn't use Stetson. I think he was using Tommy at the time.
Tommy. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Let the ladies know that it's a new day. It's a different day.
Yeah. Polo was good. Polo was good.
Yeah. During high school, it was all right.
Yeah. In college, I switched. I went to, what was that one called?
Draca Noir?
No. I think I used the, wasn't there a True Religion one or something? Maybe I used that. No, maybe not. It was a green bottle. I remember that. It was a green bottle with yellow letters. It was like kind of script writing. I wish I remembered. It was good. Very good.
The last cologne I hit, I dabbled in. God, it must have been three decades ago, maybe. 2.5 decades ago. It was Paul Smith. That was the last one I touched.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see. No, this one was good. Where did they used to sell it? They used to sell it at Structure. That's where I used to buy it.
Of course. Of course.
Which is no longer in existence.
Hmm.
Yeah, because they merged with Express.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then for a while it was like Express, an Express for men. But the dudes weren't having that, so it just became Express.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's like where you go while your girlfriend's shopping, I guess. Well, not anymore. I don't buy clothes because clothes are – I don't care for them. Matter of fact, we had this conversation tonight because we went supposedly to help my parents unload their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out it was like one fucking couch and like a shit ton of clothes just like on hangers.
Oh, boy.
But boy, did they have a lot of clothes.
Was this from the previous owner?
No. They're going through that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow they're doing the big move. They're bringing all their furniture there.
Oh, good.
But they've been doing like little stuff. And, you know, they asked my wife to help. And my wife asked me and I was like, sure, why not? Mm. As long as I'm conscious again. And, I was very upset though. Well, not really. I didn't give a shit. But it was just clothes. Like, you don't need help for clothes.
Yeah, no doubt. You're like I'm in a mind space right now, and yeah. You're asking me to come over and like take care of hangers full of clothes. Get out of here.
I'm like super fucking chill. Here's the problem though, too. You know what I mean? Because as you know, I like to shoot straight. I like to shoot straight, and and the problem is when I'm super chill. I shoot like really fucking straight.
Uh-oh.
So there was a lot of jokes made tonight by me about the large amount of hoarding that my in-laws do. we'll see how that goes tomorrow. Chances are I won't give a shit, but
I'm sure the wife heard plenty once you left.
Oh, my wife was laughing the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, my wife's a little bit of a hoarder. She's watching my 600-pound life tonight.
Oof, God.
Yes, I know. I know Ronnie feels my pain. His wife loves that show.
Hmm.
But that's what she's doing tonight. And you know, my wife's a little bit of a hoarder, but not as bad as her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as her parents. Her parents are. Oof. They keep everything. I mean, we were bringing those clothes in, and my mother-in-law is complaining that her closet's not going to be big enough now for all the clothes she's got. And I'm thinking, like, just get rid of some fucking clothes. Like, there were literally, like, 40 belts.
Oh, my God.
And as soon as I bring these belts in, her first comment is, oh, I don't even wear belts anymore. Well, so why do you have 40 belts?
Oh, my God. She just can't get rid of them, huh?
Yeah. And then she's putting stuff up in her thing, and she calls my wife over. Apparently she had like some dress that my wife used to wear when she was like 13. I'm like, why is that in there? Just like in your closet.
Sheesh.
That should not be in there. So that was interesting. Which I mean, I knew it was gonna happen. Cause like, then they're talking about the move tomorrow when they're bringing all the furniture in. The house that they've moved into is like twice the size of where they were living. In my mind, it is.
Mm.
According to them, it's smaller. How that is, I don't know, cause this is a 2-story house.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it's got a ground level and a basement. So I don't know. Supposedly it's smaller in square footage. Or maybe there's like less rooms, but it's more square footage. I don't know. Cause a lot of the stuff is going, they're just putting in the basement to like store. And I'm like, why do that? I don't understand. Just get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Well, just because you get rid of stuff and cut ties with all the stuff and run fast and lean doesn't mean everyone else does, son.
Mm. Yeah, my wife informed my mother-in-law about my very strict rule on clothes acquisition tonight. Because the way that I look at it, if I need to move, it all needs to fit in this one suitcase that I have. And I've had the suitcase since I moved out of my parents' house.
Well, not everyone is wired the way you are.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. But so anyways, it was a very interesting evening, especially as I'm pretty sure I'm still like tripping balls.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I think like if I were to just like sit down and close my eyes,
yeah,
there'd be a lot of rabbits flying around.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But anyways, tell me something good, Nick. I'm just talking too much tonight. I'm not supposed to be talking.
No, I enjoy it. This is your show. It. No, it isn't. So, you know, hey, you always say I have a good skill of asking questions and listening. So that's what I'm doing. I'm
asking very good.
Questions and I'm listening.
Hey, I have stuff we can talk about that's not about people doing drugs.
Yeah, hit me.
You know what's funny? My dad has yet to ask me about anything that I've talked about on the show.
What does that mean, then?
And I know he listens.
Yeah, but I thought you said he stopped listening.
I don't know. I assume he stopped listening because he doesn't ask me anything about it.
So wait, do you think while he's when he was a listener, do you think you got more questions because he was confused by what we were talking about?
No, what I'm saying is,
do you think now that you think he's back listening, he doesn't ask questions because he's already getting updates from you via the podcast?
No, what I'm saying is he has never asked me a question about the crazy shit that I say on this show.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
I mean, I guess.
Maybe he doesn't think it's that crazy.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, my dad told me once that they tried to smoke banana peels when he was in high school.
Oh, my.
So you might be right. I don't know.
Oh, bye.
I don't know. Banana peels. Dad, come on. You should know better than that. You can't do that.
So do you think Nelson is listening or he isn't listening? Because the only Ferretti I can be guaranteed that might listen would be Julian.
Well, Julian listens.
Okay.
I know that.
Okay. Maybe he tells your dad. Maybe he fills your dad in. Or maybe you've gone so far the other way that your dad's like, I'm tapping out.
That is very possible. That is most likely the case.
Maybe he doesn't need to know everything about what his son's doing.
Maybe he's like, this is too much information.
Right, right.
It's very possible. Anyways, let's talk about stuff, Nick. There's a couple of trailers I want to talk about, actually.
Oh, God, you mother effer. Yeah.
Did you watch them? Did you like them? They were great, weren't they? They were fantastic.
Oh, terrible.
They were lovely.
Go ahead.
Hey, look, I could have sent you the trailer for The Boy 2. I did not.
The Boy 2?
Yeah. It's called Bram's: The Boy 2. So I guess it's a sequel to Bram's The Boy 1. I don't know. I've never heard of it. I showed it to my wife. She loved the trailer. She thinks Lauren Cohen was in the first one. The what's her name? The girl from Walking Dead.
Oh, I like her.
That was married to Glenn before he got killed.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Glenn gets killed.
Yeah, I like her.
She thinks that she was in the first one. I don't know. The second one has Katie Holmes. I sent it to her because I was like, oh, my God, Katie Holmes looks like she's 60. I don't know. She didn't say anything about it. Maybe just because I was fucking tripping balls and it seemed to me like she was 60.
Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx wore her out.
Is that what it is? Maybe Tom Cruise used his like black Scientology magic to steal like part of her soul.
Who knows? He got younger, but somebody had to get older.
Mm. Yeah, you can tell he's getting older though now. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like there's a couple actors that are that way, right? So like Adam Sandler, Tom Cruise, Leo DiCaprio. Right. For the longest time, you're like, these guys always look the same. But like now, if you look at him, you're like, okay, that's just like really good camera work. You know what I mean? Because like I recently rewatched Inception, and I'm like, okay, yeah, Leo's like 40, right? A couple months ago, I rewatched whatever that last Mission Impossible movie was, which was fantastic. Yeah. I love those movies. He looks great, but like when he's doing the like action heavy scenes, like fucking holding onto ropes on helicopters and stuff, like you see his face, you're like, oh yeah, I can tell he's getting older. And then like Adam Sandler with that Uncut Gems, you're like, holy shit, like yeah, this dude's in his 50s.
See, on the big screen, they look like they're aging pretty gracefully. But then when you turn on like the Golden Globes were last weekend, when you turn on the Golden Globes and you look at all these people and it's like, holy cats, are all these Hollywood people just looking freaking ragged at this point.
Mm.
And I get it. Like, you know, some people are like 60, 70 years old at this point, you know, but wow, when you don't have professional makeup and lighting, it shows.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't watch the Golden Globes, but I did catch a clip of Joaquin Phoenix's speech and a clip of – what's the host guy?
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. I did catch part of his speech.
His monologue?
His, at the beginning, the monologue.
Yeah, yeah.
Both very good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but I did not watch the Golden Globes. I don't know who won anything.
That's okay. I just turned it on for the monologue, and I watched the first award, and then I'm like, yep, that's enough. Turn it off.
Yep, yep. Well, you know, it's always the same, right? It's like a lot of circle jerk.
Yep.
But
boy, when they flashed to the table of all the creatives from The Irishman, that is old Hollywood at this point. Old Hollywood.
For sure.
Yikes.
So anyways, trailers.
Yeah.
Brams, The Boy, number 2.
You sent me 3.
You should watch it. It's creepy.
No.
Keep the lights on.
I watched 3 creepy trailers that you sent. I don't need to watch any more.
3?
All of them. Creepy.
Really?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
So I sent you October Faction.
Yes, creepy.
Based on Rick Remender comic.
Sure.
I think that's right. I sent you Lock and Key, finally!
Yeah, the preview episode? What was it? What would you call that? That they created an episode...
Pilot?
What was, 5 years ago to try to like grab some money
from
users, and it just
forgot
sort
about
of
that.
Flat. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, sent you that one. It's coming on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And
in February
next month.
Yeah. Did you go to the URL at the very end?
I did not.
Oh, I'm shocked you didn't. Okay, I thought it would have hooked you to go to it. Okay,
that's more your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent you the New Mutants trailer. Lots to talk about.
Go ahead.
Lots to talk about. Which was your favorite?
I'll give you the one that I will see. How about that?
Okay, which is?
You know, let me tell you. I grew up with this mutant team. I know there's a dark side. There's a little bit of a creep side to it.
Yeah.
My favorite run is the Sienkiewicz run.
Mm.
So I should like crazy demon bear spirit craziness.
Yeah.
Because what's going on, it is a comic book that now is taking the internal scares that each of the characters go through that might not actually be happening in real time, but in their heads. And now you're seeing it on the big screen, and that mother effer creeped me out, like to the point where I don't think I can go see that on the big screen. That's a mother effing Marvel horror, not horror film. It's a suspense film.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people. I want to see that. Every time they put, because like all the characters don't look like the comp. There's not really a comic book equivalent character except for Rain. She's the only one that I was like, oh, that totally is the comic book character. Moonstar.
Oh, really?
Dawnstar? Moonstar?
Moonstar.
Moonstar. She, definitely, but I had to have somebody say Danny before I was like, oh, yeah, there you go. Ooh, that looks good. That's good. That's good. But, like, they had to say the name for me to be like, gotcha, gotcha. Roberto, gotcha, gotcha. But, like, at this point, you know, hey, this is New Hollywood. Like, all the Ghostbusters team became women. So I can't look at a Hispanic actor and be like, that's got to be Roberto. Because it doesn't have to be Roberto. That could be a woman. I don't care. Mm, mm. But as soon as they said their names, I was like, damn, that's good casting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really good. But there were so many creep bits to it that I was just like, damn it. I don't know if I can go see this. Oh, it was so upsetting, but it looked really, really good.
Yeah, it looks really good. Yeah. Looks really good. It seems like, from what I've seen, at least, there's been some positive feedback on this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie's been pushed back like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, for sure.
So these actors that look like they're 12 in the movie are like in their 50s now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw a joke somewhere. Something. What was it? Like, I was born when this movie was announced. Oh God, what was it? Anyway, it was funny. And then like, yeah, like I graduated high school when they finished shooting, and I'm ready for the retirement. The movie's coming out. I don't know, something like that. It doesn't matter. It was funny, but yeah, it looks great. The girl, I like the girl that plays Magic.
Of course,
as we all know, the second best mutant of all time, and she's the girl from. Damn it! What's the name of that M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Wait, is she the one that was with the weekend trip to the grandparents?
The weekend trip to the grandparents?
Yeah, the kids that went and were dropped off with the grandparents and the grandparents freaked the fuck out.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Oh, I could swear it was that.
Anyway, she is the girl from the movie. What's the one that tied into Unbreakable? I mean, she was in Glass, too. But the one before Glass. But Professor X was the monster guy.
Really?
All right. You know what? We're going to look this up right now. M. Night Shyamalan movie list.
Split?
Split. You got it. That's the girl from Split.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yes. I guess now I can see it. She just, wow.
Yes.
Did not ring a bell. That's cool. All right, cool.
That's the girl from Split. She is not Russian. But I mean, like, how hard is it to do a Russian accent? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's pretty easy. I can't do it.
The Visit. That was the movie.
Oh, The Visit.
Yeah.
Is she in it?
I don't know. Now I lost her name.
Let's find out here. We're doing everyone's favorite thing in which we look up stuff in real time. Nobody likes it when we do that.
I don't care. I never hear if they do or don't like it. I like it.
Her name is Anya Taylor-Joy. Let's see here. Was she in The Visit? I don't see her in The Visit.
See, Olivia De Jong. I think that's who I was thinking
okay.
of.
I'm sure they all look very similar.
Sure.
Oh, she was the little girl in The Witch. Huh. Interesting. Did you ever watch? No, you did not watch The Witch.
But, oh, God.
I should know better than to ask you that.
Thank you.
The Witch with 2 V's.
Just get the hell out of here.
I know Rob Krieger liked that movie. It was good.
Well, I'm glad he did.
It was good.
Oh, she's in all these scary films.
Yeah, that's her jam.
Oh, God. No wonder I don't know anything about her.
Oh, I didn't realize she was one of the voices in Dark Crystal. Interesting. Peaky Blinders. I need to watch that. I haven't watched that. Anyway, she's been in a lot of stuff. She's great.
Okay.
And she is the second best mutant of all time. We should talk about that too, by the way, because this came up on Twitter.
I love the armor down to the sword scene. That was pretty sweet.
Oh, Nick, let me tell you. Like, this trailer was great. There's a lot of horror moments, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, we get to the end, and you start seeing, like, the mutant powers. And then you see, like, that scene that you just described, and I got a massive boner.
Well, you were tripping, too.
Was I? No, I think I was good. I think I was good when I watched this. But just to see that, you know what I mean? Because, you know, yeah. I love me some magic.
Now, did we see any cannonball? He wasn't flying. We didn't see that.
He was not. And then, like, when they say his name, all you see is, like, a little orange flash, like, through right. his arm or something.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, we did not see that.
But it looks interesting. And I like the way... Didn't it feel like the first half of the trailer that this is going to be not Xavier's school for, you know, gifted students?
Thank goodness.
But didn't it seem like that?
Mm.
Like when all of them were around in the circle and they're talking about trying to help people, didn't it feel like, oh, they're just doing a different Xavier school? That's cool. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like the second half is like, oh no, they're like in some wayward, like, hospital prison for mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Like it definitely flipped into like, oh no, this is more of a jail. This is interesting. Okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked that part of it.
Mm-hmm. I like that as well. Very good job, by the way, on the casting. I didn't realize that the this is how old this movie is.
Mm.
The girl that plays Wolfsbane is the girl from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. I thought I recognized her.
Yeah, Macy Williams.
Neat.
That's what I'm saying. This movie's going to come out. These kids are like in their 50s now.
Well, she was good casting, though.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was. I'm very happy with all the casting. I thought they all looked pretty good.
Yep. So I can't wait to see this.
Mm-hmm.
It comes
mm-hmm.
out in April, finally.
One thing that would really make me happy is if some uber nerd did side-by-side scenes from the comic book compared to that scene in the movie.
Mm.
Just show me, like, here's a Sienkiewicz cover. Oh, and this is how they tried to pay tribute to it on film. Like, that's what I want.
You know that's going to happen.
I hope so. That'd make me very happy.
Yeah, someone's going to do that. Guaranteed.
Hey, use some good source material. That's all I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, that's so funny. Is this girl...
Did you say April?
Yes.
I might have to read some New Mutants before April.
Ooh, yes. That's a good idea.
Why isn't that our adopt a character? And I even threw out on Twitter this week, I'm like... Because I was reading Countdown to Final Crisis. And I threw out, can I adopt a third character? Is that allowed? But now I'm thinking, I have to adopt New Mutants. I want to read like as much New Mutants now as possible.
Let me put some on my queue, because there is some New Mutants on Unlimited.
Heck yeah.
Let's see what's on there. We've got...
Would you go chronologically, or would you just cherry pick?
You know, it's funny that you say that. I think I'm going to go chronologically, because right now I'm doing this Daredevil thing. And I've read like half the Charles Soule series,
uh-huh.
and then I start the Mark Waid stuff like yesterday or the night before,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, shit, I should have read this first.
You should have, yeah.
But it's cool because like now I get some stuff like, oh, okay, I get why this happened in Soule's run.
Are you reading the Marcos Martin or the Javier Paludo? What?
The Mark Waid stuff?
Yeah.
It's, Marcos Martin and Paulo Rivera.
Paulo Rivera. There you go. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a fun run.
Yep.
But I want to read. And I know this might be heresy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What the hell did? What was that? A bat that you threw into the microphone?
Oh no! Sorry. I have my jacket on.
Oh okay. Well, this might be heresy for you to hear, but I don't recall in the New Mutants reading that I did way back in the day, I don't recall reading any, what was the guy's name? Xavier's son.
Legion?
Oh, I wanted to say Legacy. Yes. I don't recall reading any Legion from the original series.
No, not in the original series. I don't think Legion came around till the 90s, right?
I think so. But I might have to tip in that.
Let me see here. When was Legion Quest? Let me look this up right now.
I need some of that. I need some of that in my life.
Legion Quest is Unlimited.
No, I'm just saying. I want to read chronologically. I might be reading a few hundred issues before the movie comes out. Come on.
All right, here we go. Legion Quest. Hello. Come on, Comixology.
That was part of a bigger run, a bigger arc, though, Legion Quest.
Yeah, Legion Quest went... that was before Age of Apocalypse.
Yes, that's why I read it, Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, because it was... oh, God, what was that thing? Damn it.
Were you thinking of that Marauders?
No. Crap. That Sentinel-looking thing.
The Tri-Sentinel?
Nope. Oh, man, it's on the tip of my tongue. He looks like Magneto.
Magneto?
What is that damn thing? I know Mike Myers is listening right now. He's like, what the hell is going on with this show? These guys don't know anything about comics.
Get Daryl Taylor on the phone.
Daryl Taylor. Let's see here. X-Men. Not crossovers. What would that be? Like events? All right, let's try that. Let's do this. We're going to do X-Men chronological order of all X-Men events. No, that's movies. Oh, damn it, Nicholas Wetmore. I'm very upset right now because I can't remember the name of that goddamn thing.
I know you'll work through it.
Don't worry. I'm gonna find this right now. I'm gonna find this.
I don't know what Magneto looking thing you're talking about.
Maybe if I look up X-Men villain that looks like Magneto, it will pop up. Anyways, let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. So yeah, I'm all in. I'm gonna see this opening day.
Yeah, it looks great.
It looks fantastic. What was the other trailer that I sent you?
Lock and Key and October.
Yes. All right. So October Faction is coming to Netflix. This is not Remender, like I said earlier. It's Steve Niles.
Ah.
And I love me some Steve Niles. So
sure.
Very good. The trailer looks fine. I'm assuming you've never read October Faction.
I have not.
Okay. It's very good. You know, the trailer looks a little CW for me. You know what I mean? I would like to see something a little bit darker.
It looks like Men in Black mixed with Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
But they're after monsters instead.
Yes. Yep, you're correct. Which is fine. I mean, like, it deals with a retired monster hunter and his family and all that. That's cool. They got that. I don't know, man.
I like Tamara Taylor. I like her.
I like the cast. I like the all the cast is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, I don't know if they nailed it. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't know. I didn't read it.
Like, I'm totally okay with things changing when they go from the comic to a TV show or movie. Totally fine with that. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. But like even through that, like if you can see the changes, you're like, yep, nailed it. But this one, I don't know yet. We'll see. I'm going to wait till the show comes out. I am going to watch it because I've seen I've read some of the series. I think it's just like the first volume maybe. And I remember really enjoying it.
Well, I will say, it felt like a trailer, and I've seen plenty of trailers that do this, that have the sound not correct.
Mm.
It seemed like everyone was talking at the same level. The mix was wrong.
Oh, interesting. I didn't catch that.
Which maybe if I have like 7.1, maybe if the voices were separated more, it wouldn't sound like that. But it almost was like, who's saying what? What's going on? Like they were all not talking over each other, because then that would be them at different levels, audio levels.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like a cacophony of just noise during parts of it.
Mm.
I got the gist. Trust me. It felt very Night Stalker meets Men in Black.
Mm. By the way, I find out what I was thinking of.
Sure.
The X-Men crossover was Onslaught.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
Yes. That,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The giant Magneto-looking Sentinel that was actually Professor X.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I'll tell you with Faction. I think the trailer looked interesting. But again, mm-hmm. a little too CW. Like, it felt like I was watching the trailer for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Everyone was really good looking.
Well, CW, hello. So we'll see. But I am going to watch it. And then the final trailer is Lock and Key, which I'm very excited for. Because that poor comic has been tossed around like the Village Bicycle for like 10 years.
Yep.
And they're finally making a show on Netflix. It comes out next month. And I can't wait to see it. My wife watched it. She said, looks good. Not going to watch it. Magic is not my thing. Which is true. It was just true. Because, as you know, she loves Stephen King.
Yeah, I thought she'd be all over it.
Well, she's not all over it. She loves Stephen King, but, like, for example, she doesn't like when he does the magic stuff. So, like, we didn't go see Dr. Sleep because it deals with, like, the magic side of The Shining.
Yeah, she doesn't like the Stand.
Right. She doesn't like... Right. Well, she likes The Stand.
Well, that's very magic-y.
Yeah, I agree. But, so she's not big into that whole side of things, but she said it looks good. Sure. So that's a plus. So it is Joe Hill, who's Stephen King's son. I personally feel like Joe Hill is a better writer than Stephen King.
Ooh.
I'm sure people will disagree. That's fine. Whatever. I just feel like the things that he writes are more interesting to me than the stuff that Stephen King writes.
Mm.
So I'm all in on this one. I think it looks great. I recognize scenes from the comics as I'm watching this thing. I did not like the little scene at the end when the kid goes flying. Yes, that is straight out of the comic. I didn't think it looked that good on TV.
That was the one part that I'm like, move over Harry Potter.
Yes.
Even though I've read the series, trust me, I could pick out, just like back to my pleading for New Mutants, there were scenes in that trailer that was like, I totally remember that scene in the comic book. Yeah, mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. right. That's plucked right out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks interesting, but I don't know if I want to jump on board.
Shame on you.
Because when I was reading it, it was creepy for sure. But I think when it's not static images and you're creating scenes from those images, that really freaked me out a little bit more than what I care to.
Huh.
But it was good.
I thought you were going to go a different way there.
You're sticking a key in the back of somebody's head. Bring it on. Yep. Bring it on.
See, with that comment, I thought you were going to go a different direction. I thought you were going to say it felt less suspenseful when you have it in film.
No. Because I purposely won't read into – I won't creep myself out when I'm reading a horror comic book because I don't see – I don't get the tension and I don't get the music. I told you, music's very important to me when I'm watching something. So getting that in a Joe Hill story, I caramba. But it looks really good. I would recommend it to a lot of people that have not read the comic.
I agree. And everyone should read the comic. It is on Unlimited.
Yep.
I recommend it. So I'm very excited because this thing's been tossed around for forever. I totally forgot Netflix picked it up because the last thing I heard was that Hulu was going to try to do it. And I think that was what, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And of course that fell through. So I'm glad that somebody picked it up. It is concerning that it's been tossed around so much. Cause the story's good. You know what I mean? Like it's a good comic.
For sure.
But sometimes those things don't translate well over to TV. And I get that. So I hope that they do it correctly from what I saw. And I think you agree. It does look very much like they're doing it straight out of the comic.
Uh-huh.
And that's cool. I hope they have like enough changes in there where you're not like, okay, and this is what happens next. You know what I mean? So we'll see. It looks good. I'm down. Count me in.
But aren't you worried just by the little scenes that they showed? And I granted it's a season, but are you a little concerned that it's like it's taking snippets from multiple arcs?
Mm.
and putting it into this season? Like, how much source material are they going to have if they go to season two, season three?
Well, that was my comment when we were talking about Outcast, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the first arc was episode one.
Yep.
So where are you going to go next? And that show, I didn't think it was very good anyway.
It had pacing problems.
Yes. So I agree. However, you know, maybe it's just like I'm just so excited to finally see it on TV that like I might forgive some of those things.
Yeah, and maybe they just wanted to pluck out the most iconic images and weave those into the first story, you know, the first arc. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Yeah, maybe.
There's plenty of scenes that I'm like, wait, that wasn't done in the first trade or the second trade. Like, right. That was done in the fourth or fifth trade.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Good stuff, though. Good trailers.
Yes. Can I ask you a quick question? What property would you like to see on a Netflix HBO scale? Comic property.
A comic property.
Yes. I have mine, and I also want to ask you questions about mine as well.
Okay. Well, since I just recently read it and loved it, and we talked about it last episode, I would love to see an irredeemable show.
And that could possibly be done even on a Netflix budget. That could be done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't need much.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
What's yours? That's good.
Mine would be Planetary.
Oh, I just got a hard-on.
Well, that's from the mushrooms.
No, maybe.
We know that. And I wanted to ask you about Planetary.
Mm-hmm.
In the new Warren Ellis Wildstorm, does anyone from Planetary show up?
Well, maybe like, you should be reading it.
I'm only one trade behind, so. I want them in my DC universe. That's all I'm asking.
I'm trying to think.
Why is Elijah Snow not hanging out in Gotham all the time?
I'm trying to think how that ends. I don't think so.
Okay. Like, I miss Drummer. I miss all those characters, all the Planetary characters. I miss, and I ask myself all the time, they could fit in there. Drummer could be on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't she show up, like, you know, with an all-female team or whoever? I don't care. Put him somewhere.
God, I'm trying to think how that ended, and I don't think so. No.
Okay.
They don't show up. There's more stuff from other things, other Wildstorm things, but not Planetary. I could be missing it though. I will say that, but I don't remember it.
Dang it.
Yeah. That's a great series.
Yeah. That's a series that I can easily, I find myself reading almost every year, year and a half.
I can see that.
Yeah. I always find new things in it as well.
Yeah, I could see that. God, Planetary. Could you do that like on a small budget?
I would think so. I mean, the only scale you would need is like, the landscapes or to show like various versions of like heroes, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The interdimensional stuff.
Yep.
That's about it.
Mm.
All the rest is a pretty calm story. I mean, what the first issue was sort of like a John Woo ghost film. Mm-hmm. Like that wouldn't be that hard to do.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
It'd be fun.
I guess you're right. Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, I have a game for you.
I love games.
I know you like clickety-clack games.
Oh, hello.
But it's in early access, and it's called GTFO.
Mm.
And it is a game that is a co-op game. Right now, you can't play it online, but I believe it's a five-person co-op. And the last horror game I played was Dead Space 2. Sorry. Did you ever play Dead Space?
Hell yeah. I just watched one of the animated movies too.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was the one that sort of pushed me over the edge of like, I can't take this. This is way too intense. Ah, but it's very Dead Space aliens motif. you're going through like a, it looks like the body of a ship. And since it's co-op, and right now it's early access, so you can't play online with randos. It has to be all people from your friends list, which is freaking insane because it's a 5-person game. Good luck having having 5 people own the game, and 2, 5 people that are your friends that own the game that are playing at the same time.
Sure.
But anywho, that these are the hurdles. I could care less. It's a clickety-clack game, so I'm never going to play it. And it's a horror game, never going to play it. But it involves you going through like the bowels of a ship, and you have to, the co-op part is you have to coordinate with your buddies, going through this ship as there's like human, quote unquote, humanoid creatures that have like this glowing effect that goes on their head through their chest. And they're sort of, it's almost like they're in a meditative state. So they're sort of moving. And they react to your flashlight, they react to sound, and all of a sudden their chest will start glowing. And then once they recognize you, well, not you, but a danger to them, they will set off like a high-pitched scream that will alert all the other creatures on that floor to come and take care of that, you know, that danger, which is you. So you have a flashlight. Sort of Resident Evil style.
Right.
But you have to turn off the flashlight when you see these creatures. So you're sort of being guided by either glow sticks or the like pulsing light from their bodies. And I watched a little walkthrough of it and holy Christ. And I think, oh my God, this is so up your alley. It so reminded me of Alien when the alien is coming towards, God, I want to say it was Tom Skerritt. In the little like crawlway, and you see the little beep going towards them. Like Ridley's looking at that beep. I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you remember this scene.
Yeah.
And it's going towards them, and then all of a sudden they're like, it's behind you, and he turns around, and the flashlight catches the alien, and like its hand splays out. Like a great jump scare moment. But there's so much tension watching this walkthrough. And hearing people coordinate, because only one person has that like alien like radar thing. So that person's job is just pretty much just to read the radar. And then you're working off of each other. And if there's two like alien creatures, you have to coordinate with each other of like, all right, let's take them out on three, that type of thing. And it looked really like it had some cool like Dead Space atmosphere to it. It had like gigantic like sort of wandering, not everyone's just like sitting mobile, like I mean immobile. They had like other like creatures that were gigantic, and they were sort of like wandering back and forth and like roaming around certain areas. It was really interesting, and needless to say, I only watched it for a little bit over an hour, but I was like, dang, I have to tell Martin about this, because that just, I mean, I've seen like the Friday the 13th game, and I've seen one other game that's sort of similar to Friday the 13th, which was like 6 people against one person, and you're sort of coordinating and trying to avoid that one person, be it Jason or whoever. And this definitely felt like there was a lot more unknown parts to it. And then the sheer fact of like, turn off your flashlight was enough to be like, oh shit.
Yeah, so I've been watching a video of it as you were talking. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, GTFO.
Yep.
Of course, it's Get the F Out.
Yep. $34.99 on Steam.
There you go. There you go.
Steal. I would buy it immediately. However,
you don't have 5 friends on Steam.
however, as you know, I'm not huge into like the online only games.
I know. And I know you don't really like playing with other people.
This is true.
Yeah. But I wanted to put it on your radar.
No, I like this. I put it on my watch list because I'm curious when they actually release it. I want to see what the single player is like.
Yeah, it just got released early December, so it's still in beta.
Yep.
The thing I don't like, whether it's Steam or anywhere else, especially Steam, you can buy that game right now, $34, but are you really just buying into an alpha or a beta? So are they using you as a guinea pig in hopes to make their game better? since it's early access.
Yes.
And if that's the case, why am I paying for that? It was like 5 years ago, we would have never paid for that. We would have got early access and like, all right, let me play your game. I'll bug test it. I'll send in reports. I've done that for many games. I did it with that Stranglehold game, that John Woo game that we talked about a month ago. But now it's like, I think they figured out there's a lot of dum-dums out there that they want to stream games on their Twitch channel, so they will buy this game. So why should we offer it for free? Or when this game finally gets out of early access, will it be $60?
All right, so I don't necessarily think it's dum-dums, but I have seen an increase in this kind of thing, at least on Steam. I don't know about it on other platforms, where like there's some super indie developer that wants to make this game, and they release it as early access. Most of them are not $34.99, right? They're like $10.
Right. That makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
That totally makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. I think the reason why this is early access is because they don't have the single player done. There's a notice on their Steam page about like, this is not an easy game. It is not like a run and shoot.
Yeah.
Like you have to coordinate with your buddies. It's strategic. Like if that's not the experience you want, do not get this game.
It's by the people who did Payback.
Yes.
Or Payday, sorry. Payday. Did you ever play Payday?
Yeah, Payday's fun.
Payday's the same way, though. Like, you're breaking into a bank to steal money, but you have to plan out everything, and you have to have people, like, you have to be at this corner of the bank looking in the vault. You have to take care of these tellers, so you have to stay over there. And it's not even like, finally, we can drill into this bank vault. Once you get the cash, then it's like, okay, how do we escape? How do we get out of here? Because now there's people in the front, people in the back. How do we do this? So to hear that they're doing this type of game, I'm like, yeah, I totally understand. Like, that is so up their wheelhouse.
Yeah, I like the atmosphere of this. It reminds me a little bit of like a mix of Doom and like Metro. I don't know if you ever read Metro or read the novels or played the game.
I've watched walkthroughs.
You watch walkthroughs? Okay. I love Metro. Metro's fantastic. Yeah.
That's the one that has the oxygen mask that like the glass breaks on your show the health. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I've played the shit out of Metro 2033. I've only played a little of 2034. And I think there's another one too. Anyway, I love that game. It's fantastic. The story's amazing. The acting's great. The game is great. Anyway, so it reminds me of that. Plus, it's got that mechanic that I like. As you know, one of my all-time favorite games is Star Wars Republic Commando. So if they can pull this like squad thing in single player, then I'm in. Because Republic Commando had it nailed.
Sure.
Right? Like you were a squad of commandos, and like you controlled the entire squad, not just the one player. And that's really hard to do. So if they can pull it off, then I'll buy this game.
Neat.
Yep. But I like it. It's on my list. So I'll be keeping an eye on it.
Even if you just watched a Twitch streamer for a little bit of time, I think you would really enjoy it.
Yeah, I might do that.
Yeah. It looked pretty cool.
I might try that.
GTFO. GTFO. Can I throw out a little what Santa brought me?
Yeah.
Speaking of games.
Yeah.
I was out on this franchise. Done. Take that franchise, throw it into the dump truck.
Oh, goodbye. My.
I get it for Christmas. And let me tell you, Infinity Ward brought back Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I thought I was out, buddy. I was out for 2 years. I said goodbye. I don't have the Twitch fun anymore. I'm done. I'm too old. The ship has sailed.
Yeah, sure.
I can't be a professional gamer. I don't have the thumbs anymore. My idle thumbs have let me down time and time again. Let me tell you, Infinity Ward, those mother effers. I have not played a game multiple nights in a row like I have this one, except for tonight. You know why? Because I'm podcasting. What would I be doing if I wasn't? Yeah, that's right. I'd be in there. I don't care. I'm in there. there is the thing that hooked me back in was it seems like a lot of shooters love the progression, love the challenge systems, but you're seeing bars move up. But does any of that relate to, oh, that makes sense. Oh, okay. If I keep doing that action, this bar will raise up and then that will get me this reward. Everyone says that they do that, but for whatever reason, the UI never makes any sense to me. Mm. Like, I see bars raising up, but I don't know what that means. I have no idea if I'm doing anything good except for that bar raising up. Like, my kill-to-death ratio is terrible. But for however they do this, Infinity Ward can show me bars raising up, but I clearly know exactly why they're raising up, what my reward is. As soon as I finish that reward, it's one of the few games that, like, I'm not wasting, oh, I filled up that bar all the way. Now, here's my next challenge being served up to me as I'm still playing using my old information, and it's not gaining me any knowledge towards this new challenge. Where Infinity Ward's like, no, stop. You need to use XYZ to start gaining on this thing. So it's always that carrot on a stick. And other games, tons of games have that. This is the first one that's like, oh, okay, now I know what to do. Oh, okay, you've just let me know whether it's an audio cue or a visual in between matches that I have to switch up XYZ. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So it's always like that carrot never gets out of your sight. It never gets buried in the UI where I'm like, I just wasted 3 hours because I thought I was aiming towards this objective and instead that objective finished and I haven't been putting in stock into this new objective.
I get what you mean, man. You know, I'm not big into multiplayer, but those Modern Warfare games are freaking awesome.
It's crazy, but this one's very different, though. I think there's a slowness to it. They also add in different game modes. Like, I just had one that I don't know if you've ever played Killed Confirmed, but it's where when you shoot an enemy or one of your teammates gets shot, this gigantic, crazy dog tag appears on their body, and you go and collect them. So you'll deny kills, or when you pick up an enemy's dog tag, you get a kill. You get a point for your team. And they add in all these different random playlists that isn't just domination or, you know, team deathmatch. You know, of course, those are still there. Those modes are still there. But, like, the one that's related to Kill Confirmed, they had this one running for a week, and it was called Grind. So it takes Kill Confirmed, which is the dog tags, takes that approach. But when you collect them, you have to search out these rings that you have to run to. And let's say you have four dog tags. You've collected four dog tags. You have to run them back to this ring that's an open ring that anyone can kill you. So you're hoping a teammate's backing you up while you're depositing these dog tags. And the time in between the dog tags is a second and a half. But if you're carrying like six dog tags, that's a long time to be like in a stationary area. So there's a cool like push and pull when it comes to that. But the thing that drives my crazy eight brain nuts is while I was playing this grind mode that they had, all of a sudden I killed this one guy and out of his dead body shoots all the dog tags he was holding on to, and I swear to God, there must have been 20, 25 dog tags. And it looked like New Year's Eve. It was freaking insane. It was the 4th of July of dog tags just flying all over the place. So I was running around like a crazy person, and then as soon as I picked them up, I was so giddy, hoping that I wouldn't get shot, giddy that I had all these tags, that I completely lost, because the rings they're timed based, so that they will disappear after a while and reappear. So you get icons all over your map for the two or three rings that appear. And I couldn't locate a ring. And then finally, when I figured out, okay, now how do I get there? Do I go through a house? Do I have any teammates around me? Of course, I'm not talking to anybody because everyone's an animal online. So I refuse to talk to them. But the feeling of anxiety trying to get to the ring, you hunker down a little bit. You hope just some random grenade doesn't fly towards you and destroy you as you become the pinata of dog tags exploding. But to hear like these little like sound cues every like second and a half of like ding, ding, ding. And you see like dog tag, 100 points, 150, 200. And you're just like, please, 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 no one find me. No one find me. There was such an anxiety, but it wasn't an anxiety of like, mother effer, I'm dying 50 times in a row. God bless it. This sucks. But it was such a like I said, it was beyond that carrot on a stick thing. So I played that and like these, hey, I'm not Joe Call of Duty whatsoever, but these sanctioned playlists, they rotate in, rotate out. So last night I was on and I'm like, I'm going to play some more of that grind. Bring on those dog tags. And I looked for it and I'm like, what happened to grind? Where's grind? And it was replaced by a 5v5. The map's called Shipment. It's an old map, but it's one of those maps that's like for a 10-player multiplayer game. The map is so tiny that you could take a grenade and chuck it through the entire map, all the way over to the other side, just blindly chuck it. That's how small that map is. So of course you're getting like 35 kills, but you died 65 times. Right, like by the time that game ended, oh my God, you turn around and somebody killed you. But it was just, I think it was just, for me, Infinity Ward has that carrot on a stick thing. And I've heard so much hype on this game, like, oh, they're back. Oh my God, Call of Duty's back. But you hear that every year. So it was really hard to believe. So when I got it as a Santa gift, I'm just like, yeah, all right. I'm like, and really I was like, I'd rather like Comixology, but you know, hey, let me try this. It might relieve a little bit of stress, or it could be like many online shooters where you get so frustrated about how terrible you are being edged out by all these younger people that that anxiety and stress is a negative instead of a positive. You're not relieving any stress. You're just adding to the stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this game, I swear to God, I was just like, I've been having a ball. And the strange thing is it's one of the first games that I know of that's doing cross play. So when the game fires up, I see all these PlayStation controllers showing me, oh, these are all the people that are running a PlayStation. And then you see a keyboard for the PC players, and then you just see this random generic controller. My guess is that's either a controller that a PC person's using, which if you're on PC, why wouldn't you use? Even a dum-dum like me knows if you're doing an online shooter and you could have a mouse and keyboard, why the hell wouldn't you have a mouse and keyboard? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But you see this random controller, and I'm guessing that's a Xbox controller, but Sony doesn't want to be like, oh, look at all these Xbox people. Why don't we try it? Why don't you buy an Xbox machine and you could be playing? No. You see a Sony controller. Guess what? That's what I'm playing is on a Sony. But it's interesting that now they have cross play and cross chat. So I can be talking to a PC person or an Xbox person, which is really, really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those games. I think Modern Warfare is one of the best first-person shooters.
I'm telling you, this new one, if it goes on sale and it gets in your price range, it's not a chill game, but it's a good stress reliever.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. And I would have, honestly, I was so burned out on Call of Duty, I was just like, nope. And I even tried all the ones where you're getting in a mech and you're jumping over, you know, building tops because you're in this like little mechanized, you know, mobile.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing like that. It's straight on, really fluid, tons of fun.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Yeah, what was that one? Infinite Warfare.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Modern Warfare in Space.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
I remember that.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That's good, man. I got into a little bit of a vampire kick this week.
Oh, Vampire the Masquerade?
Yeah. No. Like vampires.
Oh, okay.
Cause the new Dracula show premiered on Netflix.
And
it was fantastic.
Hmm.
Showrunner, Stephen Moffat.
Ooh.
Yeah. The Doctor Who guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do tell. Okay.
His show. So it's three episodes. They're an hour and a half apiece.
Ooh.
Obviously, it's a BBC show or like co-produced by the BBC. And it was really interesting. I said a lot of good things about it on Twitter. I had some people check it out and not like it. And some people check it out and say it was amazing. I think the problem is that episode one is very slow. And the problem is that you have to watch episode one in order to understand the stuff that happens in two and three. Because they're all connected in some way, even though they don't happen at the same time.
Is this a modern retelling?
So funny you say that.
Okay.
So it kicks off in like the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lawyer that goes to Dracula's castle because Dracula is planning on, he has purchased an estate in England. And so he wants to move from Transylvania to England. And you learn why that is. Each story in each episode ends up connecting, right? So it's kind of like an anthology in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it kicks off in the 1800s. The second story takes place on a ship as he's heading to England. And so that happens basically, I mean, I assume within a few weeks of the first episode. But you have to watch it because it's connected to a very important character in the first one. Who is also a very important character in the third one, except the third episode happens in the present day. And you do get that connection at the end of episode two as to how Dracula gets from the 1800s to the modern day. And it was very well done, and I did not expect it because with the first two episodes kind of being period, I assumed it would continue to be a period thing until helicopters show up. And I'm like, oh, shit. All right.
Oh.
Episode three was, I thought, really interesting. Not at all what I expected. The guy that plays Dracula is awesome. I think if you're a fan of like Lucifer, for example, that TV show, this guy plays Dracula like that, like Lucifer.
Hmm.
And it's really, really awesome job. And
well, Moffat really knows how to take something and modernize it. I mean, he did it with Jekyll and he did it with Sherlock.
Yep. I forgot about Jekyll. That was really good.
Jekyll's really good, and yeah. I think they're redoing it as well.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's very good. Sherlock's great too. So the third episode is in modern day.
Hmm.
I wish it was more than three episodes based on the stuff that happens in episode three. But you know, that's the way they do it over there. Yeah, it's three episodes.
Jeez.
Hour and a half apiece.
Is this on BBC America or is this Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. It's on Netflix. And it is, I mean, obviously there's blood because it's a vampire, but it's not like gory and it's not gratuitous.
Okay.
So I think you'll be fine.
All right. What about the wife?
I think your wife will also be fine.
Okay.
Like I said, you need to get through the first episode because that's where you get all the setup.
I will cue this up just on Moffat alone.
Yeah. But it's very good. I think they do a lot of really interesting things with vampire mythology.
Mm-hmm.
You learn why Dracula is afraid of a cross. And that's like a theme through all three episodes.
Hmm.
Okay. And it's really interesting. And it's a joke the entire time until you learn why. And then you're like, oh, I kind of like this Dracula guy. Like, he is very likable, even when he's killing, like, everybody.
Hmm.
So really interesting. I will tell you, there are a few creep moments in the first episode. I think the first episode is a little more traditional horror stuff. A lot of that stuff starts going away with two and three.
Okay.
But, so I really enjoyed it.
Leave it open for a season two?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's some way to do it, but no, I don't think it's intended to. Spoilers.
So you're saying that there's a chance we could have Bride of Dracula. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying you do get Bride of Dracula.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
But not how you expect.
Darn it.
Yes.
Darn it. Okay.
So anyway, I really enjoyed it. So I was like, man, I need to read some more vampire stuff.
How did that end up on your radar?
I don't know.
Because usually Netflix advertises their stuff pretty good. And with Moffat, I would think that would have totally been something that they would have pressed hard on.
I mean, it was on the front page when I opened Netflix up. But I think I heard somebody talking about it on Twitter.
Okay. That's great.
A comic creator. I can't remember who.
You sure it wasn't Ronnie Barron?
No, it was not Ronnie Barron.
What the heck?
It was definitely
not. It's a Doctor Who connection.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, so I was like, man, I want to read some more vampire stuff. So yeah. I found a TV show, which so far, I don't know how vampire-y it is, mm-hmm. but it's on Shudder. Nosferatu, NOS number 4A number 2, based on the book by the aforementioned Joe Hill, it's a TV show. I assumed with a name like Nosferatu, it would be like immediate vampire stuff.
Yeah.
There's a vampire-ish character.
But, the long fingernails.
Yes. And you're like,
weird nose.
Gets younger as he sucks the life out of you. But you don't see him sucking any blood. So more like a psychic vampire. And there's a lot of like kind of time travel-y, like magic stuff.
Oh.
So we'll see. I only watched one episode so far because I really just wanted like vampire stuff. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm going to continue watching. It seemed interesting. I did read V Wars Volume 1 that was on Comixology Unlimited. V Wars, written by Jonathan Mayberry with art by Rand Brown. It is a Netflix show.
Really?
Which is on my queue. But I hadn't watched it because I didn't know anything about it. And then I saw that it was recommended to me on Comixology. And I was like, let me read this. And I kind of had put it off watching the show because with a name like V Wars, you're like, this sounds like a B thing, a B TV series, a B movie. But man, I can't wait to watch it now after reading the comic.
Really?
Yeah, that comic was not at all what I expected.
Do you like Mayberry?
I do like Mayberry.
Yeah, I usually do not like all the Marvel zombie stuff.
Yes.
But in the same vein, his Marvel Universe versus whatever,
mm-hmm.
those are fun.
Yeah.
He writes a really entertaining, fun, quick book.
Yes. This is not a quick book.
Oh.
Nor is it fun.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it depends how you define fun.
Well, it's like a pandemic, right? They treat it like that, like a disease.
So that's what I thought. I thought this was going to be like The Walking Dead, but with vampires.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Hmm.
This is more like America in the 60s during the Civil Rights Movement, except with vampires.
Hmm.
But also in modern day. So there's like terrorist cells and like government conspiracies. Basically, there's like some virus that like starts mutating people into vampires because the vampirism gene was like a recessive gene in humans, like part of junk DNA. And with global warming, like this virus was unleashed from the ice caps or whatever. So like people start turning into vampires and like, there's dozens of different species of vampires because there's vampire stories from all around the world. And so there's a lot of like, fighting for vampire rights. And like some vampires like form terrorist cells because, they want to fight their oppression. And like humans don't like them. So there's like the religious thing, like God created man, not vampire, blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
So like basically humans and vampires are at war, but like they're also coexisting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause they're like a racial minority. So there's a lot of like that kind of commentary in the book, which I was not expecting from a book titled V Wars. I expected like a ton of violence and killing and fun stuff. But no, it's like hardcore social commentary and, really interesting. really interesting. So I read that. I rated it a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
I loved it.
Nice.
So I am going to start watching the show this weekend.
Set you right up. Is it a full series?
Yes. I didn't check. I think there's 2 or 3 volumes out.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe 2. 2 volumes out. But 1 was great.
Okay.
So now I have some something to look forward to in the TV show.
Can I ask you about a different TV show on a different network?
Of course.
On Amazon Prime, have you watched The Expanse?
I have watched the first 2 seasons of The Expanse.
Is it like Battlestar Galactica?
In some ways, yes.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Why?
Because I saw a trailer for the 3rd season, and
yes,
it really piqued my interest. But then I also, there were parts of it that I was like, is this Babylon 5? Is this,
no.
I can't tell if the acting is up to Battlestar Galactica standards or not as good standards.
It is not at all Babylon 5.
Okay.
I have a very special place in my heart for Battlestar Galactica, the reboot version.
Same here.
So I will not say it's up to that standard. However, I have read most of the novels, and they're all amazing. And I have watched the first 2 seasons, and they are great. I do recommend it if you're into like awesome sci-fi stuff. It is not like other things. But in terms of production, I would say it compares most closely to Battlestar Galactica, yes.
Is it closer on the scale? Is it closer to Battlestar Galactica or Stargate?
Battlestar Galactica.
Sorry, Stargate Season 3. How about that?
I'm trying to think when they went off the rails. Probably Season 5.
Okay.
So maybe 6.
You're giving it more leeway than I gave it by saying 3.
Sure. I mean, like, the first 2 seasons were great.
Yeah.
For sure. But, you know, when they started changing the team, I think that was, like, starting with season 5 into season 6 is when it wasn't as good.
And it's all good.
Yo, sure.
It's just how much – before – when you go back to rewatch it, where does the steam let out? You know, mine's right around 3 and 4.
Well, like, my thing was always like, okay, like, we always have this cool Egyptian stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, like, you know, all the Gaul lords are dead. So, like, what do we do? Let's just do, like, random stuff for a couple episodes and then, like, bring in the Ori. And the Ori were just not as cool as the Gaul lords. So, yeah.
So Expanse is closer to Battlestar.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a very serious show.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really interesting stuff, right? So you see like how humans have evolved by mining like asteroids, for example. So those people are taller and they have like thinner bones. And like they're kind of looked down upon by Earthlings because Earth has all the money. Right. And the mining colonies are kind of like the grunts.
Mm.
So like Earth and Mars don't really get along too well. And then like the asteroid colonies don't really like any of them. So there's a lot of like political tension.
So it's a caste system.
Yeah, maybe you could say that.
Yeah.
There's some really cool linguistic stuff.
Okay.
Because there is like a minor language that's like a pidgin language, with like Spanish and Chinese and stuff. Cause like a lot of ethnic minorities on Earth were so poor that they went to the, asteroids to mine to make a better life for themselves. And so like the language evolved differently on the mining colonies. Yeah, it's really interesting how they play with that.
Okay.
Like Mars has become more like a, no pun intended, martial system, right? Like they're very like military heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And Earth is more about like, you know, the riches of the empire.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's very interesting the way that they do the socioeconomic stuff on there.
Yeah, my wife, we started to watch the first episode of the new Star Trek season, mm-hmm. or season one of the new Star Trek reboot. And after the first episode, she was like, yeah, you can watch this without me. Even though she loves sci-fi, but I was like, come on, just give it a couple episodes. And by episode three or four, I was really, really hooked.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to talk to her about it. And like, oh, yeah, I think you jumped out way, you know, and I was sort of praising it. And she's like, well, hold off. Maybe I'll watch that with you.
Mm.
But now it's like, well, season three's coming around the corner. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. And Picard's coming. Come on.
Oh, yeah, Picard's like next week.
And I want to burn through these before it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's sort of dragging her heels. And then I'm like, I saw the trailer for The Expanse and I was like, maybe I could get her hooked on this because I know she likes Battlestar Galactica. So it's like, maybe this would be a good transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say there's a lot of characters and a lot of stuff going on. So it's not like let's just put this on and, you know, chit chat as we're watching it. Like, you got to pay attention.
You're not picking up your tablet and half watching it.
No. You got to pay attention.
I hear you.
Because everything's interconnected.
But I'm that way with Star Trek too. So
sure.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff. This is not really a spoiler because it happens pretty early on. But there's an alien artifact.
Oh, okay.
And it's very important to the series.
Would you suggest if I could only watch one series? Would you suggest The Expanse or The 100?
Because
I know there's multiple seasons of both.
Interesting. That's
that are available to me.
That's tough.
I know, but my time's worth, you know, I don't have tons of time available to me.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because I know how much you love The 100.
God, I love that show. I will say go with The Expanse.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'll say go with The Expanse.
Okay.
I know Ronnie's probably yelling right now because Ronnie loves the 100.
He's not on the microphone right now.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing. If you need to decide if you want to invest the time, because like the 100 is all one story. I think it's five seasons, maybe six. It is all one story and like you have to have watched the previous season to understand like some of the stuff in the next one. Not everything, but some of it. But like each season is like mostly self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Expanse is based on a series of books. And you know, when you have a sci-fi series of books, they're all connected. So like if you gotta remember when you start The Expanse, if you decide you enjoy it, you're gonna be like in for the long run. Right, because you're not going to get the whole story in that season. You're going to have to watch every season.
Sure, and I like that.
Yeah,
but I'm also not reading. I'm not watching television like I did 15 years ago, where I could pick up Battlestar Galactica and just be like, "Hell yeah, six seasons! I'm so effing in because I have six seasons I get to watch. Hell yeah!"
Right.
Now I'm like, you present me with like, "Hey, there's five seasons." It's like, oh boy. Like, that's a freaking commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Where The Expanse is three seasons, so that's a little bit more digestible. It would be one thing if the wife was like, sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm doing it by myself and I'm waiting for her to go to bed, that's even less time that I have.
Right. And don't get me wrong, there are breakpoints, right, at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But like, once you get started, you're going to have to watch all of it.
Yeah, I agree.
So just remember that.
I agree. It's just there's a little bit of a lull period right now. So it's like, well,
yeah, I got you.
I could jump into something. And then when all these TV shows hit, at least I'm sort of already pot committed. So I'll keep going with it.
Mm.
Maybe just not as voraciously as I was what I can do right now.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah.
See, I don't even worry about that anymore, man. We haven't had TV in years. So, just like, watch whatever, whenever. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm not talking TV. I'm just, you know, when Picard's
hitting. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah,
I got
There's
you.
Other things that are hitting that's like, oh, that's important. that I want to watch before the internet ruins it for me.
Like Baby Yoda.
Well, I don't care about that.
That's oh, my God. So last night my wife and I were talking about, I can't remember what we're talking about. And she's like, look what I just got. So, you know, my wife loves playing The Sims on her phone. They gave everyone like a playable Baby Yoda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For the new year, that type of thing?
I guess.
That's fun.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, you need to play Baby Yoda.
And you're like, let's watch that on Disney Plus. And she's like, no, no interest.
Yeah. Well, no, she asked me about it, too. She's like, did you like the show? I was like, yeah, I like the show. I was like, I didn't finish it because I only got the trial. You know what I mean? So yeah. I watched a few episodes. I enjoyed it. It just wasn't enough on Disney Plus yet. You know what I mean? And like all the Marvel movies are still on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So like if I want to watch those, I already got them for free.
Did your daughter watch High School the Musical, the television musical?
No, she watched a bunch of Suite Life with Zach and Cody.
There you go. I was going to say, or did she watch some old-timey or retro for her Disney Channel stuff?
Yeah, she loves the Suite Life.
Hell yeah. There you go.
I told her, I was like, man, these kids are like in their 40s.
Yeah. Is you like, she doesn't care. Come on.
She doesn't care. Well, you know, one of them is Jughead on Riverdale.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what the other one's doing.
Gotcha.
But anyways, we're about to wrap up. I wanna leave you with a thought.
Ooh, I like a thought. Okay.
Keep this in your mind. Because this is something that I'm very interested in, but we've never discussed.
Okay.
So I want you to ponder until our next episode, and I want the listeners to ponder, and then we'll pick this up next episode. People, Nick. People. Humans. We've been around for a long time, Nick. I think they said about 200,000 years people have been around. I find it very interesting that that whole time we've been around, we've been, like, basically the same, right? Like, people are pretty – I mean, like, there's a lot of really stupid people. But, like, in terms of, like, brain capacity, we've been the same, like, the entire time, okay? 200,000 years. And yet, all the shit that we've made is really within only, like, the last couple of thousand, okay? So I'm gonna pick this up on a lot of threads next time. If I remember, which I probably won't because our show notes are fake, but if I remember, we're going to pick up on some of these threads, Nick. So don't you find it really weird that if we're around for 200,000 years, we only invented writing like 5,000 years ago?
I believe in survival of the fittest, and I'm shocked that more dum-dums haven't fallen off the face of the earth.
Well, that's for sure.
It's like everyone's talking about overpopulation, but I'm like, but there's a lot of dummies that like 100 years ago, they wouldn't survive. They'd be dead by 32 if they're lucky.
Well, I mean, you can take that in many directions too, though, right? In like some directions that maybe some people would be a little uncomfortable with, right?
Well, I just want to curse modern medicine. Why are we keeping all these fools around? What are we doing?
Listen. You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the episode. Fuck a doctor is what I say.
That's right.
I apologize to all of our doctor listeners.
That's our two F-bombs.
Now I got to put the E-tag on it. Dang it.
I thought we were allowed two.
Listen, with all the stuff that I say on this episode, I'm sure we've dropped more than two.
Well, you did talk about walking in and watching your parents have sex for a couple minutes.
A couple minutes? It wasn't that long. I was in, I squirted the cologne, and I went out.
And then you high-fived Nelson on the way out.
Well, the thing is, like, I didn't even realize at first that they were, like, in there doing that.
Of course you, because every kid is like, obviously mom and dad had sex three times, and that's how all three of the brothers appeared.
Right, that's it. And never again.
Right.
Anyways, I agree with your survival of the fittest comment. However, it just seems to me very odd that we would go 99% of our history. This is like as modern humans, right? I'm not talking about like evolving from anything else. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about as modern humans that we would go 99% of our history looking the same, with the same brain, acting the same, And it's only within the last, like, 1% that we start doing anything with it. And then only within the last, like, 0.0001%, right? Like, the last 100 years that we have this, like, exponential technological growth. Which is obviously going to blow up in her face because this motherfucker, oh my God, that Donald Trump. God, I don't want to talk about him, but he sucks.
Not talking about him. Can I ask you a question regarding this topic?
Yes.
Because it will not wait till next episode. Because it's in my head and it will be gone like a David Copperfield magic trick.
Oh.
What will come first? An ape picks up a tablet or a phone, not just slaps at the screen, but actually picks up said device and manipulates it enough by whether it's a learned behavior or whatever, is able to manipulate said device. What will come first? That? Will that be part of evolution? Or a human starts sprouting a small little tail out the bottom of their spine? And generationally, that little bump becomes almost a little bit – every generation, that tail sort of grows a little bit. What will happen first?
I mean, I would go with the tail because there's people that are born with tails now.
But you understand what I'm saying. It won't happen in 10 years. It'll happen in 10 generations, 15 generations.
100%.
See, I'm going to go – I'll go gorilla because they're already – app developers are already making dumb – apps for cats to sit there and stare at a tablet screen and play on it. You're an inch away from, I mean, a cat can't grab the screen, but a chimpanzee or an ape could.
I'm not disagreeing with you. However, and you know, I might be biased because, you know, my mind works like 1,000 miles a minute and I get bored very easy. Right. So I could just be biased in my viewpoint, but it seems to me like if I was born 200,000 years ago, I'd be like, this fucking sucks. Let me invent some shit to, like, go have fun. You know what I mean? And then, like, I'd invent me a little bicycle. Right? And then we have the wheel 200,000 years ago.
What do you think is, okay, regarding your tail, do you expect that that tail would be developed on humans from the spine to be more like a kangaroo tail or more like the X-Men mutant Nightcrawler tail?
Well, I mean, considering Nightcrawler is now the number 3 best mutant of all time, it would have to be the Nightcrawler tail.
Okay. You don't think it's going to be a kangaroo tail? So you could, like, lean back on it and it becomes almost like a seat?
No, because you would use it like a third hand.
Yeah, but it's functional. If you can lean back on it and instead of using a chair, you've evolved into using your tail as the chair.
But what would be the function of that? Like, at what point do I need that?
Well, you don't need it. How long, generation-wise, just take a guess. Just give me a ballpark number. How long do you think, like, okay, we've grown out of apes and chimpanzees. How long before we grow gigantic ears?
Why would we need that?
How many generations?
Why would we need gigantic ears?
Well, you can't hear out of one ear, so that's where the question spawned from.
I can hear out of both ears.
That we have to grow these gigantic ears. Like Prince Charles, he's already way ahead of everyone else.
He's very evolved, yes.
Yeah, yes, he's very evolved. But how many generations before all of a sudden we grow gigantic big ears?
I mean, how many generations until we all grow gigantic megaphones out of our ears?
Only.
You see what I mean?
Do you think the tails would happen or the gigantic ears would happen first?
Oh, man. I'm kind of down with the tail.
I know. So am I. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
The giant ears sounds a little weird.
And I would hope that the tail would have range beyond how far you can stretch out your hands. Like, I want it twice as far. So if I don't even have to get up, I can just whip my tail over.
Oh, man. So you want like a 10-foot tail.
Yeah.
I think I'd be down with that.
I want it to like flip over my back and I can just have it like laying like right by my belly.
I think I'd be down for that. A 10-foot tail. Yeah. Yeah. And the tail's like, it's like a little hand, right?
Right.
So you like grab shit with it.
It's like Doc Ock.
Oh God, I want that right now.
See?
I want that right now. There's a documentary series on Netflix that kind of jokes about that. I mean, I don't know if you ever watched that show. What was it called? Orphan Black. Did you ever watch Orphan Black?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a documentary series on Netflix now, and it is called... never mind. I don't remember. But it's basically like the stuff that they were talking about in Orphan Black, like people that experiment with genetic engineering.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, because in Orphan Black, they had that group. What do they call them? Ah, shit.
It's been so long since I watched Orphan Black. Come on.
Sure. Yeah, I know.
That was when I had cable, guys. Come on.
But there was that group that, like, they experimented on themselves genetically for fun, right? To, like, grow tails or, like, open the door with their, magnetic fingers or whatever. There's some name for that. Anyway, there's a documentary series on Netflix right now about that exact thing.
But is it a joke or is it a serious documentary?
Oh, no, it's serious.
Ooh, I gotta get that name then.
I'm gonna sign into my Netflix account right now and I will tell you.
Sounds good.
I can't remember.
Well, thanks for taking me along that evolutionary timeline.
Oh, buddy.
These dum-dums, they're not going to grow ears. They're not going to grow tails. All right, left in the dust.
It's called unnatural selection.
Ooh, okay. I will put that in the queue.
Yes, put that on your queue. That anyone quit auto-playing. It's four episodes.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. So we will pick that thread up next episode. Because I think, Nick, there's something fishy going on.
Ooh, tell me more. Okay.
I think we need to talk conspiracies.
Ooh, all right, Joe Rogan. On the next episode. That's a good cliffhanger.
On the next episode of the Nerd Legion podcast with Nick and Martin. One day, Nick, I'm going to do this show on a ton of mushrooms.
Oh, no.
But not next time.
will you give me a heads up? Because I will have to play the most bizarre this or that game ever.
I will give you a heads up when we do that. I don't know if I want to do it. I mean, it would certainly be very entertaining for somebody.
What's your lead time when it comes to that?
What do you mean?
Could you go into work? Mm-hmm. Get out of work at 6 o'clock, drop the shrooms. We record 3 hours later. Mm-hmm. Would you just be hitting the apex of those?
I'd be like right in the middle of it.
Well, that would be the apex then.
Yeah, I'd be right in the middle of it.
I just didn't know the lead time. I didn't know if it would take 3 hours to kick in, 9 hours to kick in. I don't know.
No, I need like a whole day because it's like a 5-6 hour experience. And then you need like another 5 hours to just like get back to baseline.
Oh, so you're talking, okay. So we could actually do that during the week. Like I said, you drop them at 6, we record at 9, but then the following day you would need to have off.
Probably.
Because you're going to be up till like 5 in the morning.
Probably.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Well, I mean, like I wouldn't have to be, but the thing is like, I generally don't like going through the experience at night in case I fall asleep while I'm having the experience. Because I've gotten very good at being very conscious of the processes.
Are you worried about missing out on that? If I fall asleep?
No, because the experience is very retrospective for me. And so I like to consciously go through the experience.
You want to fall asleep?
Because then I can't process it as it's happening. You see what I mean? And like, I find that aspect of it is helpful for me. I don't do it just to like trip balls and have a good time, right? I do it to like analyze certain aspects of my life.
Mm. Yeah. Well, hey, when we come up on our next milestone, maybe we'll have to do that.
Oh, man. Let's see what episode number we're on.
Maybe we need to have Julian on and all of us wear our furry costumes.
Oh, boy. All right, so this is episode 228.
See? 250, right around the corner, dude.
All right. Gear up, buttercups. Episode 250.
See, the reason I want you to take a day off the next day is I want Martin to live his best Martin life. Why going to work? F that.
I'm trying to see what the
day off afterwards.
I'm trying to see what the date for this is going to be.
Oh boy.
44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. June 11th, 2020.
But we could also be recording twice a week. Let's not forget that.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
But I mean, if I release once a week, then that's right. Still June 11th.
Well, that's when they can listen to it. But you could be tripping balls in 2 months.
That's true.
Yeah. Watch out.
I could be tripping balls for 2 months.
Yeah.
That would be way too much.
Live your best life. That's what I say.
No. That'd be too much.
Now, when you're in your state, would you be very chatty? Would you be quiet and introspective?
So that's the thing, though. When I do it, as I said, it's an introspective experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to be in a quiet, dark place,
mm-hmm.
by myself,
mm-hmm.
nice and warm, and just go with it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I'm worried that if I do this as we're recording, then maybe I won't. Let me think about this. I got to think about this. This is going to happen.
You might not even record. That's what I'm worried about. We're going to get chill Martin. So chill that he turns off the recording because he doesn't care. That could happen.
So what I could do is hit the record button, drop it, and then we wait like an hour, right? So I'm in the process now, and then I haven't forgotten to record. See what I mean?
I just know from a drinky Martin, he's very, very jovial and chatty.
Drinky Martin's very different.
But I don't know the mushroom will, instead of this or that, will I have to bring pretty heavy duty questions? Because being introspective, you might want to really think about it, gauge it. And then let's discuss the myriad of answers that come into your head. Could be.
All right. So now I need to find a way to put a couch in here. Right? Because this is what's going to happen. This will happen. We're going to do this.
All right. Okay.
Except I need to be laying down.
What if you buy – okay. A couch is pretty permanent, and that would really mess up your whole Zen flow.
Mm.
But what if you got something that isn't permanent?
Mm.
Meaning, what if you bought like a narrow-ish hammock that you could do it, but then you can also unbuild that thing and put it right out into the shed until the next time you wanted to use it?
But then the question is, if I put a hammock in here, why would I want to take it off?
That's true. All right. Forget my point.
We're going to figure – I'm going to find some way to have something comfortable to lay on in this room. And
but will you just fall asleep? No. Are you going to be so chill that you're just going to fall asleep?
Well, we do record kind of late. That is partially my concern. All right, we're going to try this. We're going to see what happens. Okay? Put this on your calendar, folks. Episode number 250 will be recorded while I am on mushrooms, and it is going to be glorious. Of course, this is for educational purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
We do not recommend anyone do any of these things on their own free time. Make sure you consult with your family doctor before you do it.
We make the hard decision so you don't have to.
Yes. Ask a policeman about it. Talk to your parents.
Uh-huh.
Make this a family discussion. It is important that you take this for educational purposes only, not any kind of medical advice.
That's true. I mean, you can – ideally, please go and check with authorities. Talk to J.J. Bittenbinder.
Yes, he will tell you.
And if he gives you the thumbs up, great. If not, don't listen to the episode.
Yes. However, I highly recommend everyone to put this on their calendars.
Yes.
Because episode 250 will be glorious.
We are going to be evolving. On air, evolving.
This is actually, this is interesting, Nick. Because I've thought about recording, like, audio for one of my sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, talking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I've never done it because, like, I didn't want to talk out loud. I just want to, like, experience. Right?
Oh, you don't want to walk through it or be conscious that you have to talk.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody is Carlos Castaneda, so.
Hey, you got it, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. All right, so put episode 250 on your calendar. June, what did I say? 11th.
Sure.
June 11th, 2020 is when that's going to be coming out.
Sounds great. Sounds good to me.
Thank you for listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick and Martin. This is episode 228. Recorded in the future. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Geekvine, at Nick Wetmore, at Nerdy Legion, and that's it. You need to go and leave us some more reviews because I love funny ones.
Yeah.
And if you were to left one, then make up a fake name and write another one.
Or write it under your spouse's.
There you go. Or your child who must be at least 13 to write a review.
Yeah. And put in the text Baby Shark if it's your child's account.
Yes, hashtag Baby Yoda. See you next time.